All right, we're coming back. And all right, so I teased this a little bit that I was just gonna sound off about something. So I went to a grocery store this morning. Okay. I get like a bunch of groceries, week's worth of groceries, making some dinner for tonight, you know, whatever. And I got like 9 bags sitting in front of me. I'm cashing out. I got like 9 bags sitting in front of me. They're all bagged. We're dealing with the check, and I'm paying straight cash, just slapping
straight
it off.
Cash,
you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely,
slapping off that cash, making it
gangsta.
And cashier, and there's like 4 people in line, maybe more. There's a big line behind me,
right?
Which is weird because it's Thursday morning at like a regular grocery, but whatever. Somehow there's a big line, 9 bags, and this woman hands me like my bunch of change, cash, change, and the receipt all at the same time, right?
Right.
So she's all in one pile, okay? So now I'm sitting here with my hand out. I got a receipt on the bottom, a bunch of cash, and some change on top. Now, the cash and the change, and I'm sitting here with my wallet out.
Right.
So I'm ready to just put the change in, fold the wallet up, grab the bags, and go. Get out of the way. Now I got to deal with the receipt, okay? So now, I got to get the receipt out from the rest of the cash, ball that up, throw it, because let's be honest, I'm not doing anything with the receipt, right? If I notice a problem with the food, the like $2 box of Nilla wafers I just bought, I'm not going to come back and like exchange. I'm just going to eat the $2 and curse out whatever grocery I was at. So now I got to take out the receipt, put that in the bag, take care of the cash into the wallet, wallet away, get my 9 bag. Meanwhile, I'm still standing there. This woman behind me is trying to get in. So now I'm holding up the line. I look like a big jerk. Just... with the receipt, there's no need.
Because the receipt's always fatter than the money, so you can't just like slide it in. I will remove the
Who puts the receipt in their wallet? Nobody puts the receipt unless it's something that you need to like save tax.
Yeah,
for tax.
If you're writing off your groceries, your sliced mushrooms are coming off, but I highly doubt that that's a business expense for you.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Like, come on, I bought some ground beef, some Nilla wafers, and you know some Yoo-hoo. I'm not coming back to exchange it or writing it off. Just, you have 2 hands. I watched you take the receipt from one hand, put it in your other hand with the cash, and hand it to me. Why can't you hand it to me separately?
The worst part is, and this is what I always end up doing there, because do the people behind you really care that you're doing that? I don't know, but if it's me, yes. I'm sitting here like, what is this guy doing? And
just,
I'm never blaming the cashier.
Get out of my way, guy! I'm like, come on, dude.
What's going on here? I got stuff to do.
Right.
So I always panic and just shove everything in my pocket and then leave and then like try to deal with it at my car. But then you're sitting down because you don't want to be handling all your money just in the middle of the parking lot standing up.
Right.
So you're sitting down. Now you have your phone and your keys because you never put it in the pocket. The empty pocket, if you have an empty pocket.
Plus, who carries change?
Right, right.
Right. Now I don't want to jingle. I'm not carrying change all day. All right? Straight cash, homie. It's just, you know, she knows, that cashier knew perfectly well that receipt wasn't going in my wallet. But, you know, you can't be bothered to just either slide the receipt in the bag or hand it to me with 2 hands.
Just put it in the bag.
Put it in the bag. All right? Because now you're making me look like the jerk for refusing to have this big friggin' receipt shoved in my wallet all uncomfortable while I'm trying to drive. Nah. They're making me look like a jerk.
Right. And it's why the good Lord invented the phrase receipts in the bag.
Right.
Give you the cash, receipts in the bag. Now you don't have to say, where's my receipt? You've handled the whole situation.
This is what I'm saying.
It's expedient. You're out the door. She's getting her swerve on with the next person. And boom, you're good. You're golden.
This is it. And the line flows smoothly.
It's grocery store etiquette.
This is it. And by the way, grocery store etiquette, don't ever pay with a check. If you've gone to a grocery store and paid with a check, you're a jerk.
Yeah, also, don't leave your freaking cart at a 45-degree angle in the middle of the aisle while you're all the way down browsing for graham crackers. Now, if you know I need to run down there and get graham crackers, go ahead and do it. But if you're going to shop around for the bargain price on it for 5 minutes while I'm sitting here...
I got to tell you, I disagree. If you're running down the end of the aisle to get the graham crackers, it's on wheels! Just bring it with you!
Just bring it with you, that's true.
How much effort does it take? Oh, here's you bring up carts, and that set me off now. I understand that it's a walk, and that we in America are lazy to a like absurd... and myself included, all right? I don't, you know, whatever. My ideal Saturday is getting up at 10 o'clock, going downstairs and laying down on the couch for a 4-hour nap. So we're all lazy. I get it. But seriously, don't leave your cart in a parking spot. If you've done that, you're a jerk.
All right? Yeah, I've done that.
Come on.
I don't feel good about it. I don't leave there with a warm feeling about it. Listen, the worst, I get terrible grocery cart road rage. Like old ladies, if I see an old lady at the grocery store, I'm like, oh. And of course, they're always there. That's what old ladies do.
Right.
They're like one thing, you know, that they do in the day because most of their friends
are all paying checks too.
Are chilling upstairs. They just go to the grocery store. They do all pay with checks.
They all pay with checks.
And
it takes 10 hours.
Old people have to do the thing in the back of the checkbook where you remember where your check went.
Right.
Because
they don't know how to e-bank.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So they got to do that. They got to write that. That's way worse than you fiddling with your receipt.
Exactly. Because it takes, because cashiers don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
Because they see a check like once a month.
Yeah, but when you got Edna and she's writing out, and you know, she writes slow. She's got friggin' arthritis and Parkinson's.
And cursive that nobody can read, so the cashier's like, what?
This is not an appropriate.
God. All right. Look, I gotta move from one pet peeve to another. Oh, God. All right, so I was sitting here planning out the show last night, thinking about segment 3, which is what we're in, by the way, thinking about what we were going to do, and I was struggling. And then Pierce Bricks said something on Game On with Bruce Jacobs, which I listened to from 3 to 7 on 104.5 The Team.
Great program.
Absolutely. He said something that really just, God. Let's just play it.
Only in Philadelphia is where their number one sports hero is a fictional character.
It's a great movie.
Which one? 17? When Rocky's turtle comes back?
Actually, all of them. I even like the street fight.
Yeah, listen, it got a little dumb after a while, you know?
Did you say you liked Rocky V just now, basically? Is that what you just said?
I didn't say it was my favorite Rocky.
Oh,
but
Rocky V was awful.
It was great. When he knocks him out, God. He doesn't come within 3 feet of actually
come
hitting
on.
The guy.
Dude, Rocky V?
The street fight is great.
Oh, my God.
There's
dude.
A couple
Tommy
things.
Tommy Morrison? Listen,
Tommy Gunn is fantastic. Oscar-worthy in that movie.
Are you kidding me?
The best part
nothing
about Rocky V...
Dude, nothing is Razzie-worthy in that. Are you kidding me?
The best part about Rocky V, and I don't know how privy you are to Rocky...
I've seen it. I try to forget it, but it keeps coming back to me like a bad dream.
Rocky's son in that movie is like supposed to be maybe 15 or 16. He wears this dangly earring, and throughout that whole movie, he's got his leather jacket. He's being rebellious. It's one of the beautiful... subplots is Rocky raising his son, that you really get a good glimpse, you know, into the life of Rocky Balboa and Rocky V that you don't necessarily see when he's just a focused fighter with a beautiful woman.
I hate you and everything that you stand for.
But this,
by the way, beautiful woman, Adrian? Whole.
Beautiful on the inside.
Okay. All right.
It's an internal beauty.
Because that passion, matters. What? What?
It's a blue-collar love at its best.
That's the worst sports sequel ever made. I would rather watch the entire Air Bud franchise. Like Air Bud goes to India and plays cricket. I'm involved in that movie before I am Rocky V.
Listen, I I'm not going to disparage Air Bud 2. Air Bud 1 was a great movie. Sandlot 2 leaves much to be desired.
Dude, I'm watching Kazam 2 before I'm not sure if that's ever been made. Remember Kazam?
No, yeah, do I remember Kazam? Yes. You remember Shaq Fu for Sega Genesis?
Dude, come on.
Shaq Fu, great game.
All right, back to Rocky V, and you're just in. All right, let me ask you this. Is it where in the hierarchy of Rocky movies does it fall for you? To me, it doesn't exist.
It's fifth.
It never
happened. It's before Rocky Balboa.
I disagree.
You would put Rocky Balboa?
I wholeheartedly disagree. Absolutely.
Oh,
I put Rocky VI well above Rocky V.
First of all, it's not Rocky. Sylvester Stallone wouldn't even put Rocky VI on that.
Dude,
he had to call it Rocky Balboa.
It's Rocky VI. Rocky V is the Indiana Jones 4 and the God, what else did
Indiana
I write here?
Jones 4 is pretty miserable. Indiana Jones 4, that's
it's
Rocky
the Oceans,
Balboa.
Dude, it's the Ocean's 12 of Rocky movies. Okay? It's awful. It is just such a it's terrible. Rocky VI is way better.
I'm not going to turn on this. It's a great story. It epitomizes the state of boxing at the time. It's got Rocky, single father, struggling to raise his son. I mean, the dialogue.
Rocky VI reconnecting with his son, teaching him about life, about how you take all the punishment and you keep going. That's when winning is done. That was my best Sylvester Stallone just now. Rocky Six is unbelievable. Mason the Lion Dixon.
I mean, you have a whole slew of writers, and the best you can come up with is Mason the Lion Dixon. Dude, what does the lion have to do with anything?
All right, let's not stomp all over Rocky Five for that. Okay, because it. All right, look at Avatar. They got an entire slew of writers and like $900 billion into production. The best they did was Unobtainium. So come on, come on, give me a break with that.
That's a good point.
Oh God, Rocky for me. By the way, it goes 1, 4, 3, 2, 6.
I would go 3, 1, 2, 4, 5.
3, 1, 2, 4. All right, at least you put 4 above 5. Because 4, I mean, when he single-handedly brings down communism and ends the Cold War at the end of that film.
Wait, is that 4 or 3?
4.
Oh, that's 4? Let me rephrase. I'm going to go 4.
Okay. 4 is unbelievable.
1, 4, 2, 1, 3, 5.
And 6 is last?
Six, I don't even, it's not six, it's Rocky Balboa. They don't even call it right. Rocky Six.
Include it with six.
Yeah, six last.
Oh, God.
Movie's terrible.
You're wrong. It's but awful. I think we can both agree on this. Best sports sequel of all time, Mighty Ducks 2.
Oh. Yeah.
Without question.
Absolutely.
Gunnar Stahl, and I have a Gunnar Stahl jersey. It's fantastic. When they take Iceland versus
Dude,
the
Iceland
USA.
Iceland is so badass. First of all,
they're so badass.
They called it Iceland, it was Russia.
Oh, clearly was.
That team was Russia. That was the Rocky IV of Dude, children's duck-related hockey
so
movies.
It was so fantastic.
It was so great. And then D3.
Oh, that's not good.
Just to bring tears to your eyes. It's what a good. Terrible movie.
I'm taking D3 over 5, by the way.
You're 18 years old, Charlie. Play for somebody else. I only play for Emilio.
Why aren't these kids in juniors if they're that good? You know what I'm saying?
They're the greatest hockey players you've ever seen.
They just won the junior goodwill. Yeah. They're playing JV at a prep school. Like, what is going on here? What went wrong? But, oh, man. Dude. Oh, God. Mighty Ducks 2. Bringing in the cold goalie off the bench, Julie the Cat Gaffney.
Oh, Julie, don't knee him in the balls, Julie.
Oh, no.
Don't do it.
Lost it for yourself.
The knuckle puck? Are you kidding
knuckle
me?
Knuckle puck time! Freaking Good Burger in that
movie. Nothing cooler than the knuckle puck.
Oh, my God. That, by the way, is so stupid. Looking back at it, it's like, good God.
The only person to ever think of tilting the puck on the top.
Yeah. God, we are just... By the way, our entire audience has just shrunk to my family. You know,
which is fine. I'm perfectly cool with that.
They all agree.
You know
what
the weird part about this? That, you know, that movie is designed for like, what, 8 to 12-year-olds. I'm referring to D1. Oh, do you realize that the whole premise of D1 is that Emilio Estevez gets a Dewey within the first 5 minutes and gets community service? What kind of message is that? They lead off a children's movie with a dude getting hammered and driving a car.
And then it is service to go be a positive. Positive.
Exactly. Driving cars on ice.
Oh my God, that might be the best. That's unbelievable. Here's a sports sequel I want to see made. Field of Dreams 2. The troubles of running a supernatural tourist attraction and the great ghost player strike of 88. Because like, they're not getting anything, you know, for the effort.
It's true. It's like the hologram Tupac. You know, like once the novelty wears off, you're dealing with a bunch of ghosts where you gotta house
right,
these guys.
Because you know, eventually, like as Kevin Costner's like making money, Shoeless Joe's gonna be like, hey, how about you know, yeah. a little something?
What's going
for the
on,
effort?
Man? What's good? Huh? No, I don't take. I need heaven money.
That's right. Yeah, I don't take your cash.
Yeah.
And so he needs a strike.
I would say I would want to see, if I had to see any sports sequel, I want to see The Rookie 2. Not Rookie of the Year, another great movie.
Oh, that's great.
I'm talking The Rookie 2, because that was based on a true story, that guy lasted like 2 seasons max. I want to see after he makes his debut, him just getting shelled and shelled and sent back down to AAA and maybe getting run...
Second A.
Yeah, getting back up to the Devil Rays, because he wasn't on the Rays, he was on the Devil Rays, and just getting shelled again, and then he's out of the league. That's what I want to see.
And then ended up back in like his Texas high school, and everyone's like, yeah.
Remember that time?
Yeah, that was...
He goes back. There's a new high school coach there. He's established himself. He loses his job just so he could.
He's
know,
coaching T-ball like it's the majors. He gets a drinking problem. Oh, man.
That guy gave up more grand slams than David Robertson in a save situation.
Oh, that was cold. All right. We're going to come back. We need to cool off for a second. We're going to come back with a look at... I don't know what I'm talking about. Hang on.
Talking about outrageous claims?
Oh, we're going with our new segment. It's all new.
Our inaugural two guys, inaugural one mic, which is the two girls, one cup of radio broadcast.
All right, we're coming back with some outrageous claims. Well, I'll explain on the other side.